Mark chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 1 and then verses 14 through 15, and then we'll pray again. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And verses 14 through 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Let's pray together. Father, we praise you for this book of the Bible. We praise you, Lord, that we have had the privilege and opportunity to study this book together over the last several years. Lord, we pray that you would write its eternal truths upon our hearts. Lord, we pray that we would not merely be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers of the word. And Lord, as we end today, we pray, oh God, that you would solidify the message of this book to us. Lord, that you would open our eyes to see King Jesus in his beauty. And we pray you would change us forever for Christ's sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 2, the Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit God's words, which say this, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is our message. This is what we are called to do as a church. This is our priority. We're not a daycare. We're not a soup kitchen. We're not a hospital. Other people have been called to do that. The Church of Jesus Christ has been called to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified. One of my former pastor, Mark Devers, said this week at a conference that many churches are so consumed with helping people cope with getting along in this life that they spend no time getting people ready for the next. Friends, the job of the church, the calling of the church, is to get people ready for the next life. And yet we do things to help people cope. We do give away food. We do help people at times. But our main priority that the devil would love to get us off focus is preaching Christ and Him crucified. That is our calling as a church of Jesus Christ. And so I want to look at the Gospel of Mark through this lens of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Gospel of Mark is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Sometimes you hear people expound on the Gospel of Mark, for instance, the feeding of the 5,000, and they'll teach about sharing. It's good to share your food. Friends, the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 is not about how to share. It's about who Jesus is. Everything we've read in the Gospel of Mark is, who is this man? Who is he? He's amazing. He makes us stand in awe. He astonishes us if we have the Spirit of God. And so, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Lord in the flesh. Jesus is the Lord in the flesh. He is Jehovah in the flesh. Brother Archie, I'm so glad you're here. This is going to bless you today. He is Jehovah in the flesh. Mark chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. I want to read to you. "As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." This is speaking of John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus to come into the world in His earthly ministry. And he's quoting from Isaiah 40, verse 3. Isaiah 40, verse 3, we read, "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." capital L-O-R-D, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Friends, Isaiah 40 verse 3 is talking about preparing a way for Jehovah, preparing a way for Yahweh, preparing a way for God Almighty. And yet it's used in Mark 1 to talk about John the Baptist preparing a way for who? Jesus. Conclusion, Jesus is God Almighty. Jesus is God Almighty. That's amazing. Are you amazed at that? Don't let that get old. Oh, pray, God, don't let this get old. Oh, don't let my Jesus and who He is get old to me. Jesus is the Lord in the flesh. Jesus is God alone who can forgive sins. Jesus is God alone who can forgive sins. Mark 2, verses 5 through 7. Mark 2, verses 5 through 7. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." That should shock you. Who is this man who pronounces in power, "Your sins are forgiven"? Notice what verse 6 says. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Who can forgive sins but God alone? Ding, 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 ding. This is God alone standing before you. Jesus forgives sins. Jesus is the God alone who can forgive sins. Friends, are your sins forgiven this morning? Are your sins forgiven this morning? Do you know Him? That's the most important question that you can answer. Who do you say that Jesus is, and are your sins forgiven? You see, friend, the Bible teaches that we have all sinned against God. We have broken God's laws. We have gone our own way and lived according to our will and not submitted to God in His way. We've lived our own way with our sex lives. God commands that sexual activity is to take place only within marriage, one man and one woman. And there's no divorce. And we've said, "No, God, I'll have it my way. I'll have it my way." And we've sinned against God with our sex lives. Children, we've sinned against God by disobeying mommy and daddy, by dishonoring them, by the way that we act and the way that we don't get our way. We've disobeyed God in the way we've spoken about God, using His name in vain, saying, "Oh my God." Friends, that's using the Lord's name in vain. We've sinned against God. We've broken His laws. We lusted after women in our hearts, which is adultery in our heart. We've broken God's law. We've gotten angry. "Oh friend, I've murdered this week. I've murdered. I've been angry." And Jesus says that's murder. Friend, this will not be amazing to you. Jesus will not be amazing to you until the Spirit of God comes and shows you how vile a sinner you are. He will not be amazing. He will be boring. He will be boring, yawn, can't wait till this is over, just want to go play video games after church. Friend, if that's you, beg God for mercy. You're on your way to hell. Beg God for mercy to open your eyes to see that Jesus is not boring, that He's amazing and glorious, the Savior of the world who will change your life and set you free from all your sin. Oh, friend, I can yell as loud as I want, but until the Spirit falls on you and awakens you to see your sin and see the beauty of Christ, you will be a dead person walking. And so, Father, we pray now You would awaken souls. Lord, that You would call sinners to be born again. Bring them into Your kingdom. Let the angels rejoice, Lord, as You save sinners. And friends, Jesus came to save sinners. He did not come for righteous people who think they're all great, that get all dressed up on Sunday morning, put their tie on, and inside they're dead as a doornail. Friends, you can be a member of a church for 70 years and die and go to hell. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must have the life of God in your soul.
Amen. Amen.
And friends, you can. You can have that today because Jesus died on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago and rose from the dead and is calling people everywhere to turn from sin, to agree with God. I hate my sin. I hate my lying. Tax returns. Did you tell the truth? Did you tell the truth meticulously on your tax return? God hates lying. Liars will not inherit the kingdom of God. Friends, you can be saved from your lying. You can be saved from your cheating. You can be saved from little itsy-bitsy inaccuracies and untruths that we take for granted every day. If you repent and believe in Jesus, He will save you. He will wash you clean. He will give you new life. He will make you hate the least little lie because you love the truth, because God is truth. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Come to Him. Come to Him. Friend, if you're here today and you have not trusted in Christ, I would urge you, cry out to Him now. Cry out to Him now and say, save me, Jesus. Be merciful to me, the sinner. And come and find me or another Christian here afterwards. We would love to speak with you about this. We want you to be saved. We want you to know Christ. It's the most urgent matter to take care of. Who is Jesus? He is the God alone who can forgive sins. Jesus reigns. He reigns. He rules and He calmed the storm. In Mark chapter 5, verse 35, we see how Jesus calms the storm. He stands and says, peace, be still, and quiet, quiet. Friends, who calms the storm? Only God, only Jehovah, only Yahweh. Psalm 107, verses 28 and 29. Then they cried to the Lord Yahweh in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea rushed. Friends, when Jesus calmed the storm, do you remember the disciples were afraid because of the storm? But they got even more afraid. The Bible says they were even more afraid after Jesus calmed the storm. Do you know why? They knew Psalm 107. They knew Psalm 107. And when He said, peace be still, they are, who is this man in the boat? God is in the boat with us. You see, Jesus rules over creation and He calmed the storm. He is God Almighty. Jesus walks on water as the great I am. Jesus walks on water as the great I am. Mark 6, verses 45 through 51. Mark 6, verses 45 through 51. Immediately He made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while He dismissed the crowd. And after He had taken leave of them, He went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and He was alone on the land. And He saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea. He's walking on the water. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw Him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they saw Him and were terrified. But immediately He spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And He got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. Why were they utterly astounded? Because there's only one who walks on the sea, Jehovah God, God Almighty. Job 9, verses 2, 8, and 10 through 11. Job 9, 2, verses 2, 8, and 10 through 11. How can a man be in the right before God, who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea? Who does great things beyond searching out and marvelous things beyond number? Behold, He passes by me. And I see Him not. He moves on, but I do not perceive Him. Did you notice that? God treads on the waves and passes by. What did Jesus do in our text? He walks on the sea and passes by the disciples. This passing by language is used of God Almighty in Exodus 33, verses 21 through 22. And the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, and the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by." Remember, Moses cried out for God to show him his glory. And God said, you can't, you'll die. It will kill you. It will kill you to see my glory. People, when they met God, as I've said before in the Bible, it wasn't this sweet little sentimental moment. It was on your face before Him, trembling in fear. Friends, if God shows up, we would be on our face. On our face. You won't be able to dance and shout. You'll be down. Because He's holy. He's glorious. He's amazing. We all would want to be face down. I pray that God would do that for us. So let us experience Him, that we are face down in worship, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the earth is filled with His glory." We ought to pray to experience God that way. There were Puritans, Reformed Puritans, who believed the Bible, that got knocked off their horse and stayed in a trance for hours contemplating the love of God. I'd love that. I like fall down and you guys wake me up 2 hours later and say, Pastor Joseph, wake up. I was out contemplating the love of Jesus. May God do it. May God do it to us. May we experience His glory and His beauty. And so Moses prayed for this and God said, "No, you can't handle it. But I'll let you see the back as my glory passes by." You see that language, pass by, in our text. It says Jesus passed by on the sea. And in verse 50 of Mark chapter 6, Jesus says, "Take heart." In your translations, it says, "It is I." But the literal Greek phrase there is, "Take heart. I am." Take heart. Ego eimi. I am. Who is I am? I am is who God said His name is. When Moses asked in Exodus 3:14, "What is the name of this God who will lead His people out of a bondage to slavery in Egypt?" And God said to Moses, "Tell them I am who I am." Jesus passes by in all His glory, treading on the sea, and says, "Take heart, I am. I am." He is the great I am who treads upon the waves. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. In Mark 8, verses 27 through 29, we read, "And Jesus went on with His disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, He asked His disciples, 'Who do people say that I am?'" Friend, that's the most important question you'll ever answer in your life. Who do people say that Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Verse 28, "And they told Him, 'John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets.' And He asked them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered Him, 'You are the Christ.'" Christ. Christos. You are the Messiah. You are the promised King. You are the promised Messiah who God said would come and save His people from their sins. He is the Christ. He is the yea and amen of all God's promises. All means all. Every single promise God made is yes and amen in Messiah Jesus. Christ is all. There's nothing more. He is all. He is everything. Christ is Christ. It's not His last name, Jesus Christ. It's Jesus the Messiah. Jesus, Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer. If you know that song, Jesus is the Almighty. He's the Almighty. This is the last one on Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Almighty. Mark 14, verses 61 through 64. Mark 14, verses 61 through 64. "And the high priest asked Him," so Jesus is on trial before Pilate, before the high priest. Again, the high priest asked Him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming with the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his garments and said, what further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. Why did the high priest accuse Jesus of blasphemy? Because again, what Jesus is claiming here is to be God the Almighty One. From Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Friends, Jesus is the Almighty. He's the Almighty Son of Man who has been given all dominion, who has an everlasting kingdom that shall not pass away. And he is calling out people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, from Jamaica and Haiti and Korea and America. What other nations are here? Trinidad. Who else? Haiti. Venezuela Tunnel. Jesus Christ. He's bringing people from every nation together to be one in Christ with deeper blood than family blood. It is family blood. It's Jesus' family blood. That's who Jesus is. We want you to know who Jesus is. You can't be saved unless you come to Jesus for who He is. You can't be saved. Talk to Archie. He'll tell you. He was not saved. He was in bondage because he denied that Jesus is Jehovah. Friend, you must come to Jesus as Thomas did in John 20, 28. Thomas called him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God, come to Jesus as your Lord and your God. And one of the things that means for you is if you come to Jesus as Lord, that means whatever He says goes. Whatever He says goes, no matter how hard or impossible you feel that to be. So the people in your life that are impossible to love, that you feel are your enemies, your king says, love them. Your king says, tell the truth always and repent when you don't. Your king commands purity. He commands holiness. Your king, children, commands obedience to your parents. Our king commands us to be obedient citizens to the government over us. No matter how good or bad we think they are, we're to obey the governing authorities unless they tell us to disobey Jesus. And then we go with Jesus. So we're to follow our King. But you see, if we're honest, we know in all those areas, we fail. Even as Christians, if we're honest, and we know the holiness of God as we should, and we know the sinfulness of our own hearts as we know we fail to always, perfectly, perpetually obey our King as we should. And you see, the beautiful thing about Jesus is He's a forgiving King. He's a merciful King. Friend, as we've read through Mark's Gospel, one of the things I hope you notice, His disciples are clueless. They are clueless. They don't even live up to the high standard of commitment that Jesus calls them to. We saw Peter deny Jesus not once, not twice, but three times with cursing and swearing. And yet, to those who are His, Jesus is merciful. Amen. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. And He's abounding in steadfast love. And He's forgiving when we mess up. He's forgiving. He's gracious. And why can He do that and be that way? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He was crucified. We have a Savior who died for sinners. He told His disciples three times that He would die and rise again. in Mark 8:31, in Mark 9:31, and Mark 10:34. I'll just read Mark 8:31. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." And so he died for sinners. This beautiful and this perfect one, God in the flesh, who deserves all honor and praise, he died and was spit upon and beaten and crushed by the wrath of God, that sinners might be forgiven. And we see that happen in Mark 15:25, and it was the third hour when they crucified him. And as we've just celebrated with many other Christians throughout the world, he didn't stay dead. He rose up from the grave. He's alive. He woke up. He conquered sin, death, and hell. He is risen so that we might be forgiven and welcome as His children if we repent and believe in Him. And we come to the very last verse, the very last verse of Mark's Gospel. Mark 16, verse 8, after He has been raised from the dead, and we read these words, the very last verse of the book, Mark 16:8, "And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." And as we saw last week, we talked about the rest of the verses that are in some of your Bibles and why we don't think those are original. But many people think that those verses were added because why would you end the book this way? Why would you end the book with them in fear and trembling and astonishment and being afraid and saying nothing? Why would you end that way? Well, friend, if you paid close attention to the book of Mark, you realize that's how Mark ended everything. That's how Mark ended everything. Every amazing experience of seeing and understanding Jesus and seeing Him act and do what He did, people were afraid and astonished and amazed and astounded. They were speechless. He has done all things well. So it makes perfect sense to end the book this way. I love how Pastor John MacArthur put it. He takes us through a little survey of the book of Mark. He says, chapter 1, verse 22, "They were amazed at His teaching." Verse 27, "They were all amazed so that they debated among themselves. He had just cast out a demon." Go to chapter 2, verse 12. "He healed the paralytic, and they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, 'We've never seen anything like this.'" Go to chapter 4 and verse 41. By the way, you don't have to go there right now. It would be helpful probably if you just listen, because you'll be turning and trying to get there and you'll actually not hear what I'm saying. So I would encourage you right now just to listen. Just to listen. Go to chapter 4 and verse 41. "He calmed the storm, and they became very much afraid and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?'" Chapter 5, verse 15, "They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had gone, who had had the legion, and they became frightened." Chapter 5, verse 33, "He healed the woman with the issue of blood, and the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him." Verse 42, "Jesus raised the little girl from the dead." And immediately, verse 42 says that they were completely astounded. Chapter 6, verse 51, "He got in a boat and stopped the storm, walked on the water, and they were utterly astonished." Chapter 9, this is Peter, James, and John at the Transfiguration. And in verse 6, "They became terrified." Verse 15, "Immediately when the entire crowd saw Him, they were amazed and began running up to greet Him." Verse 32, "He had just spoken of His death and resurrection. They didn't understand the statement and they were afraid." Chapter 10, verse 24, "The disciples were amazed at His word." Verse 32, "They were on the road going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were fearful." Chapter 11, verse 18, "Jesus goes in and attacks the temple Tuesday of Passion Week. The chief priests, scribes heard it, they began seeking how to destroy Him, for they were afraid of Him, for the whole crowd was astonished at His teaching." Chapter 12, verse 17, when Jesus had escaped the confrontation with the Jewish leaders. Chapter 12, verse 17 says, "He wisely answers, 'Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' And they were amazed at Him." Chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus stands before Pilate and doesn't say anything. So Pilate was amazed. Chapter 16, verse 5, entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right wearing a white robe. You read it, and they were amazed. And MacArthur says, could I retitle this book, The Amazing Jesus? What else do you expect Mark to say to finish? Then the women fled trembling, and astonishment gripped them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is absolutely consistent with how Mark ends everything. This is his pattern, and this is the most amazing thing of all. He used this all the way along to punctuate absolutely everything. And he moves from one point of amazement to the next. So it ends where it ought to end. It is not incomplete. It ends where he loves to end. It ends with amazement and wonder at the resurrection. Are you amazed? Are you amazed? Are you amazed? He's the gospel God, man. He's the messianic Savior. Messianic Savior. He's the marvelous gospel. He's the mightiest of all the mighty. He's the greater Adam. He's the greater Israel. He's the preacher of preachers and the teacher of teachers. He's the one we must trust. He's the one we must forsake all others to have. You know, Brother Archie, that makes me think of you. You know, to come out of this Jehovah's Witnessism, Archie was shunned by them, and so his brother will not speak to him anymore. But I bet Brother Archie knows this. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Jesus said, you must hate father and mother and wife and children and even your own life, or you cannot be my disciple. He must be first. He must be first. He's the irresistible God who moves us to repentance. He's the sovereign, gracious God who attracts us like no other. He's the one with all astonishing, amazing authority and power. He's the healer of the world. He's the desperate, pleading prayer warrior who prays like no other. He casts out demons and put the devil on the run. He's the clean of cleans. There's no one like him. No one ever seen anything like him. He forgives sins, which only God can do. And he'll cause you to pick up your mat too. Jesus said, follow me, and oh, what a glorious me he is. He's the greatest me in all the universe. He's the greatest me this world has ever seen. There's no me like this me. He's the me of me's, and he's the he of he's. He's the God me. He's the me who heals the sick, sets the captives free, gives sight to the blind, and raises the dead. He's the greatest me who has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's the only me who saves. He's the perfect me who never sinned. He's the me who bore the wrath of his Father on that cross for sinners. He's the only me who conquered sin, death, and Satan and rose up from the grave. He's the me who ever lives to care for, sustain, uphold, and intercede for you, his beloved people. If you have this me, you don't need anything else, because he's got it all. He's the me that makes you see, sets you free, and utterly satisfies your heart, mind, soul with unimaginable glee. He's the friend of friends of the sinner of sinners. He's the bridegroom of bridegrooms who alone satisfies. He's the feast of feasts worthy to fast for until he returns. He's the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of lords, and the Lord of all. He heals the withered hand and gives rest like no other. He's the famous one of all famous ones. He's greater than Moses. He has the mind of all minds. He's the strongest of all the strong man. He conquered and bound the strong man. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He's our all-glorious, all-sin bearer. He's filled with the Holy Spirit like no other. He's our brother like no other from a sinful but blessed mother. He creates a new family of people from every tribe, tongue, and people and nation with his blood, which is the thickest blood of all. He's the supreme sower, seed, and soil simultaneously. He humbles hard hearts like no other. He's the supreme, sovereign, indomitable root of joy who endured the greatest tribulation and persecution. He's He's the care of cares, the riches of riches, and the desire of all desires. He's the good heart of good hearts who causes the Word of God to flourish and bear fruit that will last. He's the secret of secrets of the kingdom of God. He's the revelation of the ages that cannot be hidden. He's the strong, powerful God who doesn't need us or our help for anything, but delights to use us for His glory. He's the mustard seed of mustard seeds out of which growing plants fill the earth. He's the ultimate storm chaser and the ultimate storm crusher all at the same time. He's the irresistible lion tamer and the universe's reclaimer. He dries the flow of blood with the cries of His own unquenchable flood. He's the death killer, life giver, and man thriller. He's the teacher offender and human soul mender. He's worthy to follow in every matter, not to flatter, but all sin to shatter. He's the reproducing rabbi with all authority on high who gives an endless supply. He has the name that demands fame, which we must die to proclaim. He's the everlasting rest who passed the test so we could be forever blessed. He's the prophet, good shepherd, and provider whose strong arms of mercy cannot be opened wider. He's the I am He who passed by on the sea, makes all fears flee and sets hearts free. He's the healer of all, who reversed the fall and conquers every sickness, big or small. He's the Savior who cuts bureaucracy, humbles aristocracy, shatters hypocrisy, and rules by autocracy. He's the Son who perfectly honored His father and mother and upholds God's Word unlike any other. He's the heart. His heart is clean. He makes the obscene pristine and heals the defiled like you've never seen. He put the Syrophoenician woman to the test, brought out her best, healed the possessed, and made the outcast His guest. God's glory to forever express. He opens ears to hear and mouths to praise and will only amaze for eternal days. He more than satisfies all hungry cries, and crushed He dies, but then He'll rise to be our everlasting prize. He's the greatest sign that ever came, all leaven to set aflame and hard hearts to reclaim, bringing glory to His most precious name. He opens blind eyes and on that cross dies to triumphantly rise as our infinite prize. His sacrifice more than sufficed, with love and beauty He enticed, and above all He's the glorious Christ. He crushed the serpent with passion fervent as the suffering servant. He's the King of self-denial who endured the hardest trial to win God's everlasting smile. He took all our blame so that for His great name we would have no more shame, but spread His everlasting fame and never ever be the same. His kingdom came, all power He'd claim, and earth's kings tame for His great name. His transfiguration revealed His glorification in a bright sensation as the beloved Son of all adoration. He suffered many things, and true salvation brings by rising King of kings. Now over us He sings. He's the God who can heal uncontrollable man and forever ban the devil's wicked plan. He would be killed and rise to build His church fulfilled with people thrilled. He humbled Himself small as the servant of all and now stands tall as the greatest of all. He received the child, was meek and mild, then died reviled, and on His Son His Father smiled. He was a powerful name. He has a powerful name that all must proclaim, since He took our blame and death He'd tame. He was given no cup of water, but went to the slaughter with God's wrath hotter, so we can drink the living water. He quenched the fire and cooled God's ire on that cross dire. Now He's our all, our great desire. He's the saltiest salt, died without fault, rose up out the vault to make death halt, so Him we forever exalt. He never leaves, but to His bride forever cleaves, and all who trust Him He receives. He dearly loves. He dearly loves His cheating bride, and will not cast her down aside, but for her purity He died. He was the littlest child, with greatest righteousness compiled, yet for our sins He died reviled. He's rich beyond measure, but gave up His treasure to fill us with pleasure. He does the impossibly hard through His body scarred, so from His presence we won't be barred. He died and gave up everything in order to salvation bring, so we might now forever sing. He was accused, used, bruised, and spitefully abused, then rose enthused, so the sting of death would be diffused, Satan totally confused, and we would never be refused. He became the slave of all and ransomed His people from the fall by giving the greatest gift of all. He heals the poor and begging blind, and shows them tender mercies kind if they will truly trust and find all joys and hopes in Him. combined. He knows all things. God's rule He brings, and from the crowd Hosanna rings, for He's the humble King of Kings. He spoke and cursed the barren tree, but finally came to set us free, for He's the fruit, come taste and see. He's the temple clean, who drove the robbers from the scene to grant us grace and peace serene. He perfectly believed, and holy righteousness achieved, so full forgiveness we've received. He cried, "O Father, please forgive," then died and rose that you could live, and now forgiveness freely give. He owns all authority on high. False teachers, evils, tongues He tie, then speak the truth and for us die. He's the beloved Son whom wicked men would kill and shun, but through His death His work is done. Now He's alive, second to none. He owns all things, bold truth He brings, and Caesar bows to the King of Kings. He came from Mary's virgin womb and faced His Father's wrathful doom, then resurrected from the tomb to be our everlasting groom. He loved us first, even though we're sinners worst, yet for our sake He died as cursed, and now for Him alone we thirst. He alone fulfilled the great commands, obeying all that God demands, then took His wrath with nail-pierced hands and conquered death. Alive He stands. He's our sovereign God and Lord. His teachings cannot be ignored. The great crowds heard Him and adored. Believe in Him. There's great reward. He received the greater condemnation for prideful lust of all creation, that all that He might save from every nation a humble bride who knows salvation. He gave up all He had when He died for sinners bad, and quenched His Father's wrath to add a righteousness that makes us glad, to end all sin and pain that's sad, and everlasting pleasures add. He's the temple we need, and so these buildings He's decreed will fall to rubbish, flat indeed, and all His warnings we must heed. He warns of coming judgment doom, so we'll be ready for the gloom and stand with Him, our perfect groom, for all our foes He will consume. The end will come. Christ will return, then raise the dead to fruit discern. The wicked will forever burn. The righteous joys He did earn, and they for Him will always yearn. He is the Lord and Judge of all, who said destruction would befall, and yet He'll save all those who call, so they all will never fall. His name to all shall be proclaimed, and we must never be ashamed, since for our sins our King was blamed, so now for Him we are reclaimed. He endured to the end, but was not saved, and did descend to bear God's wrath and life extend to those who trust Him as their friend. He was made an abomination, enduring desolation, while facing our damnation, then rose for our justification to save elect from every nation. He's the highest class. His beauty can never be surpassed. His every word shall come to pass, and in Him joys will amass. He's the only true and living Christ. So by false Christ, don't be enticed. To save His elect, He alone sufficed. For by the whip He's cut and sliced, then died and wrapped in grave clothes spiced, but rose alive, the living Christ. Oh, great salvation's highly priced. And now hell's fires have all been iced. He always stayed awake and made earth quake when He died to break and crush the snake, then rose again, new life to make, and His people take all for love's sake. So now for Him alone we ache. He's worthy of extravagant devotion with greatest emotion, for He swallowed God's fury ocean and rose to the extreme promotion. He's the Passover lamb, the substitute ram, and the great I am, so that we can be children of Abraham. He's the greatest man ever born, though by betrayal He was worn, torn, silent like a sheep shorn, treated with scorn and pierced with thorn. He rose to be salvation's horn. His body was broken throughout, and His blood poured out for us. He went without. He's the most devout, without a doubt, and His works what this supper is all about. His blood was poured out as the covenant Lord. His blood was outpoured as the covenant Lord, so we're clean and restored through Christ, our reward, who's always and only and ever adored. He's worthy to be remembered, and Him we proclaim, who took our shame and died for our blame, then rose to great fame, so we're never the same, but live to acclaim His glorious name. He never fell away, but always did just what He'd say. Then God did strike the shepherd slay. His own He won't deny but pay. He died and rose to love display. He begged His Father to take the cross away, because with perfect fear He'd pray, with passion every sin He'd slay, and preeminently to God He'd say, "You're my greatest joy, please stay. Your will be done, I will obey." He, in greatest trial and stress, would pray His Father God address, who rules and reigns o'er all distress, our loving Savior seeks to bless. So to God's will He did say yes. With a kiss He was sore betrayed, All friends would flee and give no aid, but he, our God-man, can't be swayed. He died and in the tomb was laid. He did God's will just as he prayed and rose again. Our debt's been paid. He was stripped down naked bare, and men would spit and mock and glare. For our great shame he'd taken wear, then rise to righteousness declare, and give us clothes that end despair. With him there's none who can compare. He's the Son of the Blessed. No testimony against him passed the test. He's the greatest and best, who they beat and oppressed, undressed and killed with jest, to remove our sins as far as east is from west. Then he rose with a quest to leave us at rest and forever obsessed with his glory possessed. He was wickedly denied by a close friend on the inside with curse and swearing. No, he cried, in pride and fear to all he lied. But Jesus faithful went and died to save his faithless, cheating bride. He's the King of the Jews, and everyone else he'll choose. Silent before those who accuse, cause Pilate to be amazed and confused. Then they'd abuse, misuse, and bruise, so that he might be the everlasting good news. He's the perfect substitute. He was killed like a murderous brute, though he's innocent without dispute, yet silent and mute. Our sin God did to him impute, so we'll have and bear his righteous fruit. He was severely mocked, and on his head they spit and knocked. By death our lowly king was rocked, but in 3 days they'll all be shocked. He rose, and heaven's gates unlocked. He couldn't carry his cross to the place of the skull where all seemed lost. The wrath of God he would exhaust to purchase us at greatest cost. He was king between two thieves, and mocking jeers from all receives. He died to free from all that grieves. He'll save each sinner who believes. He was utterly forsaken. In darkest cries, his heart was shaken. The curtain rent was overtaken. He's God's Son, there's no mistaking. From the grave, he would awaken, so we won't ever be forsaken. He saves and sets the women free. For to his reign, they bow the knee, and from his side, they did not flee, but his redemption came to see. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. He took his father's wrathful doom. It seemed that life would not resume and all men's hearts were filled with gloom. But he would rise, all power assume. He rose up from the bitter grave and lives new life to us he gave. For everyone he came to save. So we would be his holy slave, holy behave, and him alone forever crave. Friends, that's my king. That's my king. That's my King who astonishes and amazes. The way of salvation blazes. Spoke unprecedented phrases. From the dead his Father raises. So we give him everlasting praises while his grace forever amazes. He's worthy. He is worthy. So my prayer for us is that as we have meditated upon him these 3 years, that by looking to Jesus, the Spirit of God would make application where he needs to make application. We would be changed where we need to be changed. And even as we go to the book of Proverbs, I'm still going to be preaching Jesus from the Old Testament, you see. And so I take Spurgeon very seriously, where Pastor Spurgeon said, I would rather see Christ where he's not than miss him where he is. And so we're going to see this Jesus in the book of Proverbs, because Jesus wrote the book of Proverbs. He's the second person of the Godhead who inspired the Bible, and he is all wisdom. And so we're going to see him in our next book as well. If you're, again, here and you don't know Jesus, we want you to know him. And so find somebody and talk to them about him. Come over for lunch next door and speak to me or another Christian there. We want you to know him. We want you to fall in love with him. Because following Jesus is, it's not like rule, not so much like rules to obey, though it is, but it's like falling in love with a person. And you give your heart to them. You daydream about them. You sing songs to them. You get all giddy and excited when you think about Jesus. That's what it means to know Him. And if you haven't experienced Him that way, as a lover, friend, you may not know Him. And we want you to know Him. We want you to be saved. So come and talk to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for helping us through this book of the Bible. And we pray, Lord God, that You would apply Your Word to our hearts. Father, we confess to You that unless Your Spirit comes and applies this Word to us, it is vain. And so, God, we beg You, Holy Spirit, come and apply Your Word. Lord, change me. Lord, don't let me be as the angry, impatient person that I am. Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. So change me. Change us. Oh, Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen.